My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Happy Friday. Beautiful day. Bills at 2-0. I was thinking that so much, and you know, this can be me, not all of us, or even you, but so much of the offseason was, what are they going to do? And isn't already so much of that pressure off after last night? The Jet game Monday, and then the Dolphins last night. And it just feels very different. Oh, Jacksonville. The first right. The first six games have usually been my framework. You know, like maybe Arizona. Underdog 4 times. Fortnite games. 2-0 with Jacksonville on long rest is next at home.
And coming off of, I mean, what word do you want? Dominant, easy, cruising.
What is the right word? Was it dominant? Was it easy? It was pretty easy.
I think it was easy. I don't know about dominant. I mean, they won easily. That's dominating. I guess, you know. I mean, they scored easily. It seemed. I mean, the takeaways were all gift wrapped, basically.
Yeah, that's even the same. That's a microcosm of the same point. Because.
Yeah.
Were they just gift wrapped, or were the Bills in the right position and the quarterback was confused? And the first one was a batted ball, but
yeah, the second one was just a overthrow. The third one was maybe quintessential, like why you'd be afraid of Tua Tagovailoa as your quarterback is like he's just trying to throw that out of bounds and he can't get it there. He just can't get it there.
You know, Sean McDermott would not say it was easy.
No, I know. No, and I don't think. Anybody who's on the team that prepares for these games and physically goes and does it, I think would really balk it easy. But sitting in your living room, I mean, it's just pretty stress-free, you know? They are faced with 4th and 3, that first possession, and I thought, I don't know, everybody be honest, right? They line up like they're going to go for it, and then there's the quick timeout, and like, okay, they're just trying to get them to jump. Right, they go talk to the coach, and here comes the field goal unit. Like this is me now sitting on my couch thinking like, oh, they did that thing. Because at first you're like, ooh, they're gonna go for it, and then like, oh yeah, hold on, I'm not in shape yet. This is draw them off sides. The timeout sort of compounds that, and then no, we're going right back out there. and going for it, and they get paid off with a 17-yard touchdown.
Man, that was great.
That was really great. It checked every box.
It's a walk-in touchdown.
Maybe the only box it doesn't check is having to burn a timeout that early. Like, I think Allen said something about that after the game, but still. If you're...
Why is he so negative all the time?
If you're keen on those sorts of decisions, that few minutes was a bit of a ride. You're like, are they going to go for it? Yeah, they are. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, timeout. Oh, geez. Oh, okay. So that was awesome. One thing I keep thinking of today is the Dolphins and their place in all of this and how rare it is, I think. I don't know. I don't want to talk about any of our personal lives or our professional lives, but certainly as it pertains to sports, I think we are used to feeling like Charlie Brown. And we are never Lucy. But with that team, we are Lucy. They cannot get their foot on the ball. We keep pulling it away from them.
Is that still a reference people know?
I think so.
Charlie Brown? Do your kids know Charlie Brown? I mean, they're in their 20s.
Yeah. I think mine do. We watched Peanuts when they were little. I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time. But
I watched it this morning. It's what came up this morning when I woke up at 1:15.
All right, well, good for you.
It was Charlie Brown. Where's the pumpkin pie? That's what woke me up.
Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying. I mean, this Miami team just can't catch a break. The Bills lose another defender early in the game on top of all the other defenders that they've lost. I mean, you look at what they did to that team, the defense did to that team with Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram and Damar Hamlin.
I know.
Benford's a sixth-round pick if you want it. I mean, he's a good player, so like that's over. His draft status doesn't really matter. But your secondary is a sixth-round pick in Hamlin, and two street free agents that are filling in for one of the best nickel corners in the game. And you're doing what to the Miami Dolphins now? Like, Miami just, they could run it. They ran it very, they probably should have just kept handing it off.
Let's just, before we go too far, sounding like the Bills are the best thing ever, let's just at least say once, what a joke the Dolphins are.
That's really the point here.
I mean, I know Tua got hurt, and I'm not going to ignore that, but the game was over before he left it.
Right, it's 31-10 when he gets hurt.
And so much of my thinking, I just love when I just get completely blown up by a game. You know, you put all this time into thinking about, oh, he's going to carve him up, you know, just completely blown up. All that was said that was kind of obvious about their motivation and just like what the Bills represent to them. Nobody takes them that seriously. I don't think that's overstating anything. And so the schedule fell great for them, I would say. Play them early, short week, at night. They travel, you're home. It's like perfect for the Dolphins. It's almost, you know, fixed. If they lose this game, the Bills lose the game 31-10. Somebody's calling us today to say, why do the schedule makers have it in for the Bills? Like, why would they do that? And still, the Dolphins are nowhere. That third Cook touchdown is just, it's the second quarter. And the Dolphins are just completely checked out. Poor Jordan Poyer has to try to chase him to the corner. Can't get there. I mean, just in so many ways, symbolically, just a horrendous moment for a Dolphins franchise that has just been dogged by, you know, the Bills thing for four, going on 5 years.
Right.
They have this game, and it is just done by the second quarter. Did you see my tweet about the plays run?
Yes.
25 Bills games ever, or at least since the Super Bowl era, so 1967, 25 Bills games in 57 years, the Bills ran 46 plays or fewer. They are 3-22 in those games. That's logical, isn't it? That's sort of intuitive.
Sure.
If you run so few plays,
you don't have the ball a lot,
you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, some of the more famous Bills losses that you can think of are on that list where they just could not get first downs. 46 plays or fewer, 25 games in Bills history since the first year of the Super Bowl. They have won three, and last night is one of them. And they won by 21 points.
Right. Yeah, they really cruised.
That should not ever happen in the NFL.
Right.
It doesn't happen in the NFL. Like, just It's turnovers, you know, but it's – so I was at the other
turnovers and fourth downs. I mean, they – fourth downs. Miami went – they missed on 4 out of 5 fourth down attempts. I mean, that – so, the, I mean, those are basically turnover – there's turnover on downs is what it's called. I mean, so, yeah, that's – you can – you move the ball, but if you can't convert those, then, you know, thanks for coming. Thanks for your stats, but, you know, you're giving me the ball back.
1986, Jim Kelly's first win. St. Louis Cardinals, week 3 in Orchard Park. That's one. 42 plays. The Cardinals ran 74. The Bills won 17-10. Don't ask me how. Mm-hmm. The famous Sunday night Raiders game in 90. Nate Odoms, J.D. Williams, Tasker. Like that game on TNT.
Yes.
For you trivia buffs. 38-24. The Bills ran 44 plays. The Raiders 68. Last night, the Bills ran 45 plays. The Dolphins ran 75 plays. And that's the only one where I guess the Bills didn't have a turnover because the Dolphins did. So it must be that. Of all those 25 games, I think this is just sort of like ancillary, but of all those 25 games, 46 plays or fewer since the Super Bowl era, that's the only one where the Bills didn't give the ball away. Because, you know, that would be, these are often bad teams, so you're going to have turnovers. But this is not a bad team. That's why it's so weird.
I love that you Poyer being at the point, like the flash point of the biggest, you know, offensive play in the game, I think is just so symbolic for my poor Miami's not exactly a sentiment that people will want to hear here, but like they're a joke. You just said it. This offseason, I can't beat the Bills. I just can't get past this team. Oh, Jordan Poyer's available? The Bills are probably done with him? Oh, we'll go get him. There's something left there. We'll go get him. Leadership, intelligence, all of this stuff, some familiarity. Like, that'll help us get over the hump here. And instead, it's just in the open field. You tell me here. Cook starts to like head for the sideline. And I don't know who that player is in the middle of the field. I could have guessed it was Poyer, but I don't know at that point.
He's not scoring.
Right.
That's what you're thinking?
I'm thinking he's not. He doesn't have the extra gear, and that guy's got an angle on him, and he's going to get caught. And we're going to be talking in here about how you wish he had just a little bit more. Right? It was just a little bit fat. But, boy, was that the right guy at the right time to be the person with the angle in pursuit, because it's Jordan Poyer, and he cannot do that. He can't catch average, you know, foot speed running backs anymore. Just can't do it. And so even that, like if you're a Miami fan and you were hoping, I mean, I talked about him quite a bit yesterday on the pregame show. You know, if I'm Miami, I'm plugging into this guy. You know, he knows the inner workings, and emotionally, like he's a powerhouse in that way. So let's help have him help us get there. He knows how to climb this hill. Let's go. And he's the guy that can't get it done. You know, the play that basically didn't ice the game. It made it 24-10 or whatever it was, 24-3. And then, of course, the Ingram pick six is the one that iced it. But yeah, Poyer at the flash point was, I don't want to quite say delicious, because I don't feel like he's someone we should have an axe to grind against. The Bills were done with him. They let him go. He went to Miami. So
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, I don't have it in for him or anything, but it still tasted pretty good.
Well, you know, I know people are, I've said for many years, everybody in sports radio knows this is the way. When the Bills win, you know, we don't really get phone calls because, you know, there's nothing to complain about. Allow me. 139 yards passing is just not going to cut it. Like, these two games... Allen, in fantasy, you got away with it in the first game because he ran for, what is this, one carry? Two carries for 2 yards? What is he, Burrow now? Allen? What is he, Aaron Rodgers on a torn Achilles? Two carries for 2 yards and a fumble?
I thought he was supposed to have to do everything for them to win.
This is not going to work. How do your fantasy teams look today, everybody? Kincaid?
If you have Coleman? Cook, if you have Cook, you got paid.
Cook, yeah, but who has Cook?
A lot of people. You just hate him for some reason.
He was
excellent last year.
I don't hate him. He was fine.
I'm exactly.
That's why I don't like him, because he's fine. I want, you know, if you will, legendary upside. That's what I want for my running backs.
Well, he was mighty fine yesterday.
He's even getting the ball in the goal line plays.
Yeah, well, Allen even said after, like, he's complaining to me about, you know, not getting goal line carries because I keep taking them on him. So, you know, we got him one from the 1 yard line. So, you know, good for him.
Two inside the five in 2 weeks. He had 5 all of last year inside the 5 yard line.
And he had 2 rushing touchdowns yesterday, which is his total from last year as well.
This is a problem. Keon Coleman, 0 for 0. I like Samuel as a prop bet, 1 for 3. Who even knows? We're 2 weeks in. The Bills have 2 wins, including a destruction of the Dolphins. And do we know anything about what we were asking all summer? Like, pecking order? Is it fine? Like, does it matter? Are they going to have a season where it turned out not to matter?
It definitely doesn't matter right now. To assume it won't ever matter seems probably pretty short-sighted.
I refuse to do that.
But I'm really curious to see if and when they need it, if they'll have it. You know, like the plays are still, even though Allen has such a modest stat line, you're not inclined to maybe brag about what he did last night. But the play he makes to Ty Johnson, by the way,
it's good,
is bonkers. I mean, it's Jalen Ramsey in coverage, by the way, and just tremendous. So, you know, there's not 10 of those plays or even 5 of those plays from last night, but when you needed a play, there it is. It's first and goal at the 1 yard line because Josh Allen is a freak. So that is the kind of thing that gives you, I think, some reason to think, at least maybe hope, that, you know, when you really have to do it, when someone can keep up with you and doesn't just roll over and give you the ball 3 times, that you're going to be able to find it. But, you know, we don't know. It's definitely to be determined at this point. But what they're doing is working. They're scoring 32 points a game, and their offense doesn't even seem like it's been that hot yet.
Well, I think Miami was a mess, and every one of these games, you know, you have week one, and some teams look better than you thought, but who do they play? You know, I think I don't want to overstate that because Miami walked into last night with the same odds to win the AFC East as the Bills did. I'm sure that's quite different today. So it counts, but it's not everything. I think through 2 games, it's fine. It's appropriate to really talk about this idea that I think has been proven to be correct, that they want to be a running team, you know, run first, like that identity type stuff, whether it's going to work. I mean, so far it has. And there are so many facets to that. Like, that's sort of what is happening around the NFL. It's the Bills are like, they voluntarily traded Stephon Diggs, but that happened. It didn't happen to them, but they chose to do it. And that and others of their moves are, okay, well, this is probably where we're headed. It was what they were already playing last season. And I'm open to hearing, you know, this is a great idea because of how the season has started. I'm not all the way there. I'm not all the way to, okay, well, this will be fine. I don't need Dalton Kincaid as a receiving threat. I don't really need Coleman can have zeros, you know, because I don't think so. I don't think this season will ultimately be a success if that keeps happening. I mean, Kincaid had four catches. Two guys on the team had more than one last night. Not to, you know, overstate it, but it's Shakir and Kincaid, and then it's four other passes total, I think, the whole team. But I think right now, like, that is the topic with them. Defensively, give Sean McDermott his credit.
Yeah, I mean, get the flowers out. I already said it. I mean, you're talking about sixth-round picks and street free agents from the University at Buffalo. You know, starting games.
I don't like how your tone there.
That is where they're at. I mean, it just, it's kind of incredible. Yeah, I don't mean it as a slight on the guys necessarily. It's just, who saw that coming? You know, they're so thin. And, you know, we spent some time yesterday, like, I don't know, do you slot Ingram in there? That's not really his job. You know, Bishop maybe, Mike Edwards, whatever. You know, big nickel. And these guys just are there. You know, I mean, yeah, the ball was, you know, they were in the right place at the right time. But it really stands out to me that this defense, Baylen Specter, and it's just the names. It's incredible to do that to that team, and it's not a one-off. Like, they, Tyreek Hill, his longest reception against the Bills is 23 yards since he's been on the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
Yeah, like they have, you know, they got it. You know, they seem to have a formula for slowing that team down, and because, I mean, the results speak for themselves.
What is Jonnu Smith's longest catch as a Dolphin against the Bills, though? You haven't brought that up yet. 15. Sorry.
I was getting there.
What about Grant Dubose?
He was annoying.
Jonnu?
Smith, yeah. I just felt that.
But that is a byproduct of what you're saying. Because the Bills are like, go for it. Knock yourself out. Jonnu Smith, go for it. Just not Hill and Waddle. Right? Go, throw the ball to him.
Right.
We're fine.
Well,
it's
sure.
Like a running play.
I mean, for all, listen. We're over here moaning about all summer, I don't have a number one, who are my guys, I got a bunch of slot receivers, all this and that, right? Miami has Hill and Waddle, but you're also throwing the ball to Robbie Chosen and this Dubose guy who lets it bounce off his hip and go for a pick. Like, you know, the top end of their receiving room obviously is elite. The rest of it is junk. Like, who are these guys?
Well, it doesn't usually pose a problem to the Dolphins, but the Bills, to their credit, have so messed with Tua that he's throwing the ball to those other players. When wouldn't you and I say, don't?
Right.
Do what works. Play to your strength. And if Tyreek Hill is in bracketed coverage, I still kind of need that. So it's easy to say. And we don't know what happens to him now, Tua. Like, that's the lead story from this game.
Right.
Is his injury and just what happens there. 803-0550, Football Friday on WGR. Fun to have it be a game review here. Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Here is Sam with us. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Great, Sam. Thank you.
Sun's always brighter when the Bills beat the Dolphins. I just wanted to pick up on the point you guys were making about the offense. And, you know, we're so used to NFL rosters where there are clear number ones at wide receiver and running back. And certainly it's a lot easier to have, say, a running game by committee than wide receivers by committee. But I'm just wondering to get your take on whether or not the Bills can actually turn what might be perceived as a weakness into a strength, that, you know, they have a lot of good to very good weapons, maybe none that are elite, but it, you know, kind of keeps the defense guessing a bit. To your point, you can have Kincaid have a quiet game, but then other wide receivers are picking up the slack, and depending on what Josh sees with the defense, I'm just wondering what your take is on maybe that being a strength and you know, getting them into a deep run.
Well, it's what we've been talking about already so far today and so much of the summer. I don't think it's a strength. I know they've started well, but I think eventually they're going to need to establish solid, reliable, good options in their receiving game. They've yet to do that. It's not, you know, it's not hurting them yet, of course.
They haven't gotten to a game where they've had to throw it 40 or 45 times yet. I mean, it's been pretty, again, easy. I mean, last week was they had to come from behind, and they threw to do that. But once they got in front, like it wasn't a shootout. They haven't had a game, and you know that's by design. I think they want to play that way. You know, the key is being able to put the clamps on your opponent. And that's why last night, I mean, I was on the over for, you know, the point total and both quarterbacks over 250, like that kind of stuff, putting parlays together because I thought Miami would move the ball on the Bills and get points, and that would drag the Bills into a game where you wouldn't have such modest receiving totals, but it just didn't happen. Miami ran the ball great, but they were sloppy with it, and Tua gave it to the Bills three times, and it's just that was it. That was the story. The Bills were working from the Miami side of the field constantly. The turnovers on downs were that way too, and not all of them, but you know, a couple of them were running around midfield. In fact, one of them, the Von Miller sack, I think, or maybe the Ed Oliver sack, preceded the 49-yard James Cook run that made it 24-3 at the time. Mm-hmm. So they haven't really been pushed. So we don't know. Like, that's all still TBD. But, look, I've been bullish on Shakir all summer. And, you know, last week he didn't do a lot, but what he did was notable. I mean, the run after catch last week was great. The touchdown was great. This week, it's five balls, five catches. I mean, he's cruising at like a 90-some percent rate on targets. And he was excellent at that last year, but it just wasn't very much volume. And it still isn't much volume yet this year. That's a part of the idea when everybody's going to eat. But that dude just catches the ball, gets open, and makes the catch.
Everybody eats. Nobody's eating. Everybody's snacking. Yesterday, I'm like, don't starve.
Everybody snacks.
I was at Wegmans today. All their little things, like for samples, are painted. Everybody eats. Everybody snacks. I mean, that's a snack, too. Everybody snacks. Allen has thrown 42 passes so far this season. You wanted over 250 from your guys last night. Neither guy got to 150.
Right.
To his injury. But, man, it's just so weird. You never know with this sport. 803-0550, Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. We'll look for more of your calls next. Sal at 4. A break now. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.